and has taken care of me, as he should. All right. We're going to talk about faith today. It's a central foundation of our Christian lives. And it's going to be a very basic lesson, one that we should understand very easily. See, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Or the, as one version, the New American Standard said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, or the evidence of things not seen. So assurance, trust, substance, it's basically the same thing, to stand under and support what we believe. And so that's what faith does, and the evidence necessary to leave no doubt in our minds. And of course, we have a lot of help here. Believe it or not, we have a lot of help here, because many people have gone trying to disprove the Bible as being nothing more than myth. And so for years ago in the 1800s and even the early 1900s, people were kept going to the Holy Land to look for evidence to prove the Bible was wrong. And every time they kept turning their shovels, all of a sudden here something else shows up, and they find a piece of pottery with somebody's name on it. Or they find something describing something taking place, or they find a parchment, and it all supports what the Bible has already said. And so there were many atheists who were trying to disprove the existence of God who became believers in God, because they were trying to find the evidence that God did not exist, but the exact opposite happened. And so evidence, this is what we need to convince us of something. Someone tells you they did something. We want to see evidence sometimes before we're going to believe some people, right? Some people are not very trustworthy, and so we want to see the evidence if they're going to tell us something like that. So the idea of evidence is to leave no doubt in our minds. In a court of law, the prosecutor presents to the jury the evidence. Just saying that man or that woman did something doesn't make it so. But here's the evidence. We have a video of them doing this. We have them saying words to the effect they were going to do something horrible. We have them on recording. We have their fingerprints. We have their DNA. All of that is evidence, which basically in the mind of the jury, okay, this person did the crime. You know, the fact that a crime took place, well, everybody acknowledges that. But did this person commit the crime? And that's what the prosecutor's job is to do, is to say, this person did the crime. Now, would it be fair to take someone off the street, just go out there and grab them and say, okay, we're going to put you on trial for doing something bad? And if they didn't do anything bad, why are they put on trial? So that's why evidence is necessary. And, all right, in Hebrews 11, verse 2, it says, for by it the men of old gained approval. And so this has been going on for years. And it was faith that people in times past were accepted by God. It was by this faith. So in every case of faith demonstrated, it was evident by what they did, not what they thought. You know, in our world today, when people start talking about faith, it's just some sort of mental acknowledgement as far as they are concerned. They think they can be saved by faith only without doing anything that God tells them to do. And of course, that is wrong, and that is a false doctrine. And so, as we have the demonstration here in Hebrews chapter 11, which we call the Great Hall of Fame of Faith, every one of these people were acknowledged because of what they did, not because of what they thought. And our world has it all backwards now. It's just whatever's in your mind, that's all that really matters. So faith must be the center of the Christian's spiritual life. No doubt about that. It is by faith that we understand our origin. Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. Then he said in verse 26, let us make man in our image. By faith we understand that the worlds were formed at the mouth of God. That statement that we read from Genesis chapter 1 is confirmed to us many times throughout the scriptures. God caused this. God did this. God made it happen. God created this earth. We must understand that, and we understand that by faith. Why do we need faith to understand that? Were you there? Were you there when it happened? I didn't think so. But yet we have the Bible, which we believe is a pretty reliable witness, telling us what happened. And so, yes, I believe that's exactly what happened. See, it is by faith that we understand our purpose in this world. As the Ecclesiastes writer and tried to apply all wisdom, trying to figure out all this, he saw life was vanity, everything is folly, and this is what I've determined through all of this. The measure of all is to fear God and keep his commandments. For this applies to every person. I mean, that's basically it. And then, yes, seeking God. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it is by faith that we understand our destiny. John 14, 1 through 3. Jesus said, if I go, I will come back. I go to prepare a place for you. And there is a place prepared for us. We know that. We believe that. What? Well, we read the words of Jesus right here in our Bible. And you know what that tells us? Well, Jesus never lied. Jesus told us there was a place waiting for us. And we have to understand that. Faith is the motivation that impels us toward God and Christ. So yes, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So everything we do by faith is towards that goal of pleasing God. All right, faith is the shield that protects us from the fiery darts of Satan. You know, the shield of faith. And Ephesians 6, the armor of God. We have a shield of faith. And then, of course, sometimes when you think of the word shield, you might think of that little bitty Roman disc that was maybe about 10 inches in size, which would maybe repel the blows of the sword. But the shield that he's talking about is a full body shield. And that's what it is. And so that's what can protect us. You know, a little bitty piece of metal, that may give them a target to shoot at, but they need a full body armor. And so it's a shield of faith that protects us. And without faith, we cannot please God. And that's true. We have to do so. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14, 23 tells us that. Whatever is not of faith, it is sin. So if you're doing something, you might even be doing something benign with no spiritual consequences. But if you're acting out of faith, doubting that is this right or not, I'm going to do it anyway, then it becomes sin. All right. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Because, why? Because we are saved by grace through our faith. Yeah, some people want to get out and say, well, we're just saved by the grace of God, and that's it. No, it's through our faith. And what is faith? It's not that mental assent, which we talked about a little while ago. Faith is putting into action what we believe is going to accomplish us the result of what we want. See, Paul writes in Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people just want to stick to the word faith as if it's all-inclusive, all by itself, and really there's nothing else involved in this. We are justified by faith when we do what God tells us to do. And that's how we demonstrate our faith. So Jesus, speaking with reference to the promised Messiah of the Jews, said this, except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. You got to believe that I am the promised Messiah, or you're going to die in your sins. So faith in God, faith in Jesus as his son, is necessary for our salvation. See, in introducing the means of our salvation, We see what Paul wrote: all have sinned and fall short of his glory. And then, but the free gift of God's grace is from his love. And yet we still have to acknowledge it by faith. We have to understand this because we believe it. And it's written in the Word of God for us. And so we should be ready to believe anything the Bible tells us. Do you believe there was a global flood one time? Do you believe the sun stood still one time? Do you believe some giant fish swallowed a man and 3 days later coughed him up and he was still alive? Do you believe that stuff? I do. I hope you do also, because the Bible tells us all these events took place. See, what do you trust to take away your sins? You rely upon yourself, your own goodness, your own moral superiority. Maybe you do some works which you think might merit you salvation. No, that's not going to do it. If you think that, you'll be lost, because we cannot do it. See, the only thing that can cleanse us from sin is the blood of Christ. And we are taught in the scriptures how we access that blood through baptism. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins. When we combine that with what the other scriptures say, now wash away your sins. I mean, you have to understand, washing away is that cleansing. It's a cleansing through the water of the Word. And so that's how we do it. Through the gospel message, we understand, we obey the gospel, our sins are washed away. So how do we access the blood that will cleanse of our sins? It's through baptism. Then after we're baptized, it's through prayer we access that blood. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. 1 John 1 and verse 9. So through faith in his blood, we are saved. We believe there's a special quality in the blood of Jesus. It's just not the fact that, well, Jesus, Son of God, but how can we be saved? We need access to his blood. And we know it's not physical blood, because then all of a sudden all sorts of government agencies would be talking about bloodborne pathogens and stuff like that and make you sterilize it. No. It's a symbolic thing. That's what we understand. And we know there can be no other Savior but Jesus Christ. No other name under heaven by which one must be saved. Acts 4 and verse 12. And of course, Hebrew writer says, and he is able to save to the utmost them that come to God by him. That's right. Through faith in Jesus, God is able to save them. So faith comes by the hearing of God's word. We should understand that. How do we know where the world came from? Well, verse 3 tells us it was spoken into existence by God. And why do we believe that by faith? Well, we weren't there. We didn't see it in person. So we just have to take the account that was given to us. All right, faith answers, Hebrews 11, 3. By the word of God, this world came into existence. And then everything in it came into pass by the word of God. It didn't just happen to all of a sudden, randomly, some lightning bolt struck a couple of chemical elements and they morphed into a single cell living creature. And then from that, single cell amoebas, and then little sea slugs started crawling out of the ocean. And before long, they had legs on them and they had four legs. And all of a sudden, they had two legs. And guess what? That we're the result of that after millions and millions of years. You believe that, or do you want to believe what God said? Let us make man in our image. That makes a whole lot more sense to me. Besides that, with all those animals we're supposedly descended from, it's kind of an insult to the animals the way we behave these days. I'm talking about mankind. So we read in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We believe that God is the creator because we read it in his word. It is stated in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's what we need to hear. Now, if you're hearing someone teach something that's not found in the Word of God, you're hearing the wrong person. There really is really no other source of true faith. There isn't. Jesus said that we believe because of the word he gave to his apostles. See, in John 17, when he was praying to God, he says that not only they, his disciples, would believe that he was the Christ, the Son of God, but those that listened to them through the preaching of the word that they were to give to them. So yes, this is what? It comes by hearing God's word. And John wrote about the miracles that Jesus did and said that these are written that you may believe. So there's many other signs Jesus did. But we gave you enough evidence here to prove that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing on his name, you may have eternal life. So our access to God is revealed by Jesus. In John 6, 44 and 45, we have access to the Father. Why? Because we believe Jesus gave us that access. So when we pray to God, we can pray to God and ask him for the favors, ask him for things. We can give him the glory and the praise. And we do so through the name of Jesus. We have access to God because of these things. So by the hearing and learning of God's word, we are able to come to him through Jesus Christ. Titus 2, 11 through 14 talks about that. All right. This is the reason that Jesus said the following. Go and preach the gospel to all nations. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. All right. God calls us to salvation, and he does so by the gospel. You know, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, as Paul is commending the Thessalonians, he says, "For you received from us that which we gave to you, which you treated as the word of God," which in fact it was the word of God. And so you're to be commended for this, and you're taking that same message, verse 14, and you're sharing that with everybody else, wherever you go. You're sending out evangelists. So your reputation goes beyond your city walls. So while many look for other calls and think the Bible is a dead letter, look what God tells us there in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. The word spoken by the apostles, written for us in the Bible, these are the words of God, and we must treat them as such. And if you want to get more specific, the whole Bible is actually the word of Christ. And so, that's what we have here. But yet, people in this world, they know people don't want to abide by the Bible, so they offer alternatives. There is no alternative that will be acceptable to God. All right, we are to believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. From verse 6, it says, if we are to please God, we must believe that he exists. There's plenty of evidence for this. Yes, we have plenty of evidence that God does exist. And Paul talked about this in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, where he talks about the invisible attributes of God are revealed or made known by the things which are made, so that people really have no excuse not to worship and not to acknowledge the God of heaven. So yes, we can look at the universe, and several times the psalmist talks about the great expanse of the heavens. We can look at that. God created all of this. God made it all. God made us, and we are not our own. So why did God make the world and us? He did so for a purpose. See, God has a purpose for everything he does. Now sometimes it's hard for us to process that. Why are there natural calamities? Why are there natural disasters? Why do certain things happen? Why did God make mosquitoes and roaches? And sometimes we wonder about that. Well, God has a purpose for everything he did. You know, Ecclesiastes 3, 1, for everything there is a time and a purpose under heaven. That means everything. Yeah, there's wickedness goes on, and God has a reason for that, to show us what we shouldn't be doing. So there's a purpose. Sometimes it's difficult to figure out why. I mean, Ray and I were talking about this the other day. Why did God have men, women, and children slaughtered out of a community? I don't know the answer. I don't think any man can know the answer. But he did, and so we just have to accept that. Why didn't God tell the people in the Old Testament the consequences of not living right would result in an eternal torment? He didn't tell them that either. I don't know why. All right. But let us let the Apostle Paul answer this question. You know, Acts 17. He was talking about he'd just been invited up to Mars Hill, and he commended them for their faithfulness because he says, I traveled through your city, I saw the many idols and the altars you have erected. And one caught my attention, it says, to the unknown God. And he starts in here, let me declare to you this unknown God. He is the God that created all mankind. He's the God that created heaven. He is the one who keeps everything in working order. And by him, all things exist. So Paul was describing who this God is. And that's why he made us. God made the world and he made us. If we are to please him, we need to believe that. But it's more than just a mental acknowledgement that God did create the world. We have to believe what he says in the Bible, and we must do what he commands in the Bible. See, acceptable faith has a second part, and as we see in our passage, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, a lot of people in this world, they're not seeking God. They're hoping God will be nice to them on Judgment Day. They're hoping they're fairly good people. But they're not seeking God. They're not seeking to learn what God wants from them. They're not seeking to live a life that demonstrates an allegiance to God. They're going to be lost. See, too many of us overlook this part. Or too many people in this world overlook this part. But see, the examples in the context help us understand. We see what Abel did. We see what Enoch did. We see what Moses did. We see what Abraham did. We see what others did. They were all acting by faith, but they did something. They did something extraordinary, and it's recorded for us. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. Why? Had Noah ever seen a flood before? Noah hadn't even seen rain before. So the concept of a flood, he didn't know. But you know what? He prepared the ark like God told him to. Yeah, he was made fun of for it, but he did it anyway. What were they doing? They were seeking after God. They were seeking after God's favor. And they learned that if I do what God tells me to do, God is going to be pleased with me. So when God told them what to do, they did it by faith. Because they didn't know these things. They had never seen these things. But yet they believed what God said about them. Because they recognized that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. God has, from his very earliest dealings with man until now, rewarded those who did what he told them to do. Yes, he has rewarded them and will continue to reward them until this earth finally meets its end. And he has always punished those who refuse. That's true. See, by faith, Abraham obeyed. Hebrews 11, verse 8. See, one of the characteristics of acceptable faith and true faith is revealed here. Because Abraham believed God. And so the same principles at work in the case of Abel, Enoch, and Noah. To believe God. Believe God means what he says. When God says, I want an animal sacrifice from your flock, doesn't mean you go steal your neighbor's cow and sacrifice that on the altar. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to give from your own flock. And so, then of course, Enoch, an example that he walked with God. when it says he walked with God, Amos says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? And so we apparently, Enoch was on the same page with God, trying to be faithful to God and trying to please God. And he would talk to God. And of course, Noah, what did he know about a flood? Nothing. What did he know about building a big boat? Probably nothing, but he learned. He was told what material to use and how to prepare it. And so apparently he did exactly as he was instructed. Otherwise, I don't think that would have saved him. So by faith, they did what God said. They obeyed. And that's what we need to learn also. When God speaks, we need to obey. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. To have faith, to call him Lord, is one kind of faith, but true faith is understanding what is said. You know, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? I mean, that's a valid question. Why do you call him the Lord, but yet you ignore what he says? You know, that reminds you of Titus 1:16. They profess to know God, but their deeds deny him. James 2:19, talking about faith without works is dead. I mean, you can try and convince me you have faith, but you know what? I'll show you my faith. I will demonstrate my faith, and you'll know what that faith is. See, to have faith to do what he says is another. Why do we do it? Why do we go through the steps of the plan of salvation? Why do we attend the assemblies of the saints? Why do we partake of the Lord's Supper? Why do we sing? Why do we do all of these things? Because we have faith that God will provide for us what he has offered for us. It is through hope that we have this. So it is hearing, believing, and doing that constitutes a saving faith. And even though some people in this world will say, well, those are just works of men. No. If God told us to do it, it becomes his work, right? It becomes his work. Ephesians 2:10, when it talks about the fact that right after he says, by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he planned beforehand that we should walk in them. So the faith that saves is not faith only, but faith that obeys. And it is that faith which works by love, Galatians 5 and verse 6. That's the motivation that we need to serve others. We've talked about that before several times. We need to love others, and we do so by faith. And so unless faith obeys, it can never be acceptable to God. You know, James 2:17-24, like once again, faith without works is dead. It is useless. It doesn't do any good. And so look at what Peter says in 1 Peter 1:22, talking about their great faith, their fervent faith that they did. They need to follow that faith, and they demonstrate, since you have it by obedience, confirmed your salvation by what you did, by your obedience to the gospel, you have confirmed your faith. So truly, faith is the center of the Christian's life. I think we all know that. But we need lessons like this every now and then to support and hold us up and remind us of these things. You know, going back and covering something that, yeah, we should know, like singing the song, Jesus Loves Me. We should all know that by now. But you know what? We need to be reminded of that, and we need to remind each other that Jesus does love me. It leads one to Christ. Faith leads one to the Christ, and it sustains one in Christ, knowing that as long as I'm faithful to Christ, he's not going to abandon me. Hebrews 13:6 tells us that. He will never leave you or forsake you. And it will take one to the Father through Christ. It'll take us into the presence of Almighty God through Christ. He is the avenue. He is the door. He is the way. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. So that's what our faith does. That's what our faith believes. Some people try and believe in God and they reject everything Christ says and don't follow what Christ says. That's not going to get them to heaven. Because God said, this is the one I've appointed. I've given him all authority. Now listen to him. He said, this is my son in whom I'm pleased. Hear him. That's what was said on the Mount of Transfiguration. And God reminded the disciples, yes, the law, that's gone. Here's the one you need to listen to now. So it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Romans 1:17. Yes, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. And so we do live by faith. And of course, these days in our world, our faith is being tested. It's being tested by the powers that be. It's being tested by others. It's being tested by all the craziness in this world today. And are we going to maintain our faith? We certainly need to if we want to go to heaven. So how can and how does one express his faith in Christ? 2 Peter 1:5 through 11 talks about that. You add to your faith. You build your faith. You build it upon the foundation of Christ and the apostles' doctrine. You build it up as living stones into a spiritual house. You build it up by adding to your faith the virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And you continue doing those things. That's how you do it. That's how we have faith and acknowledge faith. And it takes people a while to get to that point where they actually do have faith. But for us as Christians, we already have faith. We know that, but we need to be mindful that other people need to see our faith at work. Not just because we say we're a Christian, but because we live like one. And that is what is so important. So consider these thoughts. We're going to sing the song selected. And if anybody's compelled to respond to the gospel, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.